So question for you, when is the last time you had a choice to make and you felt stuck? You just couldn't figure out which way to go? It can be something big, it could be something small, you're not sure how to make the decision. I can spend a half hour on Netflix trying to find the right movie, and 10 minutes into it, I'm like, oh man, I made the wrong choice. And sometimes we do get stuck because we sort of look back on a choice we made, and then we're living out that choice today, and we're like, oh man, I wish I never would have decided that. Or maybe, when is the last time you thought to yourself, this is the best decision I ever made? Might be a good time to look over at your spouse, or boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah, choice making, decision making, make smart choices. I mean, big part of life. There's all these little phrases that go around that kind of help us make decisions. We all grew up with them. I gathered some up. I'm going to read them to you. I bet you can finish them. So check this one out here. Just kind of say the end of the sentence. Two wrongs don't make a... Oh, you guys are pretty good. A squeaky wheel gets the... Yeah, most of the time it does, doesn't it? A leopard can't change its... I know, I said this to someone yesterday, and they said, stripes. And I was like, what? Thinking. Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what. Yeah, the famous Forrest Gump. Little sayings that go around. In this series that we're going to be in over the next few weeks, there's a little section of the Bible where people wrote down a bunch of wise sayings called Proverbs. And we're going to be taking a look at these sayings, they call them Proverbs, and little sayings that help us sort of get through life, navigate life. So grab your note sheet. And the big idea in the series, Proverbs are practical advice from a purposeful God. So practical advice from a personal God. And here's what it says. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined, successful lives, to help them do what's right and just and fair. Now, the reason we say personal God is because wisdom is not a replacement for a relationship with God. So during this series, if you invite someone and they're a different place in processing where they are with God, everyone can benefit from looking at Proverbs or little sayings, little wise sayings to get us through life. Everybody can benefit from there. So they can be close to God, far from God, wherever they are in the process, they'll get something out of Proverbs. But where they really have power is when you blend them in to having a relationship with God. Like when you're walking with God and the Proverbs that he has designed that are in his book, you kind of mix those into, they're in conjunction with God. And here's why. Here's the tension point. I can know the proverb and the wise saying, but then the question is like, how do I apply it? For instance, okay, so the squeaky wheel gets the grease. All right, that's great. So you hear that and you say to yourself, well, I'm going to go to work. I'm sick of being pushed around. I'm going to tell my boss, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'm going to tell them at work, you know, I'm not going to be treated like this anymore. So you go in, you know, expecting to get some grease, and all you get is some grief. They're like, oh, stop your complaining. And you're thinking, well, what, you know, the problem. Or you've heard this before, a picture is worth a 1,000 words. So you send someone a picture and they send it to 1,000 people and you're like, wait a second, I didn't want that out on Facebook like that. So here's the tension. The tension is, how do I apply it? I mean, that's probably what makes the Proverbs in the Bible so different is they're God's Proverbs. And he's still involved with us as we apply them in our lives. So for instance, let's say it was like this. Here's the difference. From a fortune cookie or a fortune teller or a crystal ball or something like that. Horoscopes, here's the difference in the Proverbs connected with God. Let's say, for instance, your kids are getting a little bit older and your mom tells you one day she's over and she gives you some wise advice. She says, you know, don't let your kids watch movies that are too old for them. You're like, well, that sounds like great advice, you know. So here comes a movie out and your kids want to watch it and you're trying to figure out how to do it. Like, well, don't let my kids watch movies that are too old for them. But then the neighbors do it a certain way and then your brother does it a certain way and pretty soon you're spinning. You're like, well, how do I know? Until you remember, well, I can just call my mom. I can just ask my mom what she thinks about this particular movie. And that's what makes the Proverbs different. They're in God's book. And I know the Bible, you know, people have different ideas about it. I mean, you know, the theme of the Bible is really super simple. The theme is God wanting to say, I love you and want you. So that runs through all the stories, through every page in the Bible, God saying, I love you and I want you. But I know that for some, it's like this religious rule book, or even worse, it's this a really oppressive book that churches or religions use to control people. And so these proverbs are found in the Bible, and like, do I read the Bible? And I thought this video was kind of interesting, what people had to say about it, so check this out.
I don't read the Bible.
Yeah, I totally do. I actually have it in my backpack.
Not really.
I do not read the Bible. I used to when I was a kid because I had to.
I'm Muslim, so I read the Quran, so I do not read the Bible.
I do read the Bible, and just so that I can get fed spiritually each and every day.
I don't personally read the Bible.
I've read parts of the Bible.
I don't. Except in the past I have as an academic text.
Mainly because I don't follow a religion that follows the Bible.
I don't, mostly because I don't really believe in what the Bible says.
Primarily for academic reasons.
It really has nothing to do with me.
Jesus is like my savior. He's like the most important thing. Totally changed my life. So I read it to learn more about him.
I'm kind of agnostic. It's just something I haven't really felt strongly about in my life.
I read the Bible just to get insight.
I'm agnostic, so I just take a purely literary interest in it.
I've never read the Bible in my entire life. I've never had to.
I am religious. I don't really read the Bible much.
It doesn't have a role in my day-to-day life.
I read it because my faith is a super important aspect of my life.
I think it's mostly like a metaphor.
My mom made me when I was younger. I don't know, just because too busy reading accounting books, to be honest with you.
Rather than something strictly true.
I don't really take interest in it.
A lot of people say, oh, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, but the things that I read are happening today. The things that I read in the Bible pertain to a lot of situations that I face.
And I was never raised reading the Bible. My mom's pagan and my dad's non-denominational. So.
It's what I was raised up with. I was raised Christian and I'd be reading the Bible, but you know, this is what I was raised up with.
Of course, I've read the stories like Noah's Ark, the Garden of Eden, and the like, but I've never wanted to delve beyond that. It just seemed like a fable or a fairy tale more than anything else.
I've read Genesis, Leviticus, various things, just to help contextualize a lot of literature that I read.
That's actually funny that you stopped and asked me that, but yeah, I do read the Bible.
In your program, you got one of these. Take that out just for a second, because part of this series of talks that we're going to do on these proverbs that were found in the Bible is to ask everybody, or think about asking yourself, if you would be willing to read through this book of Proverbs during this series. And we got this little bookmark so you know where they're at. Now, if you don't have a Bible, we give them away outside. They're free. You can grab one and read through it. Because here's the idea. What we're thinking is that reading the Bible, connecting with this Proverbs, is going to be more than just wisdom or having a wise saying. It's going to help me connect with God and apply those wise sayings to my life. Now, when you think about the Bible, let me break it down for you, because all the stories, the history, everything that's in it, you can kind of put it down into like sort of three different ways that it shows up. So look at your notes, write the first one, principles. And that's, you know, absolute truths or universal things that God does. Science has tons of them. So the sun is going to come up every single morning, regardless of what I think about it. The rooster doesn't crow and bring the sun up. The sun's just going to come up. Doesn't matter how I feel, what happens. Now, the Bible. The Bible has relational principles that are bigger than me. They're going to happen. They're going on all the time. And they're in the Bible. And you can learn about those relational principles in the Bible. Here's an example. You don't have to go by them, but they're in there. So one of them is be honest, which is a challenge in everyday life, to be honest and not tell lies. We've all told lies. As soon as someone tells you, I never lie, you're talking to a liar. So, I mean, that's just how it is. So it's a challenge. And but be honest, that's the principle. So what it's saying is that in relationships, here's the principle, it's always better to be honest. Even if you get out of trouble or there's some short-term gain in telling a lie, and I certainly understand that problem, it's better to be honest. The opposite of that says is don't tell a lie. So that's the principle, right? But you don't have to follow that, and you don't even have to believe it. I know someone who doesn't believe that at all. They think lying is a circumstantial thing. And they run a huge company, got all kinds of employees, and I've seen them tell lies and then later explain it, that the circumstances dictated that the best thing for them to do was tell a lie. So they don't live by a principle or even believe in that. They live by circumstances. The circumstances tell me what to do. If I feel like it's the best thing to do for me, then I'm going to tell a lie. And that's their call. I'm not cracking on them or anything, but in the scripture, Bible, there's principles, okay? Number two, right? Promises. That's God's commitment to us. Now, promises are important in life because they allow us to form expectations. Who's ever had someone put expectations on you? They expected you to do something, and you later thought, I didn't even say I would do that. That's not fair. But if you make a promise to someone, or someone makes a promise to you, then it's okay to have an expectation, to let your hopes get up. Because someone's, that's why they hurt so bad, when someone breaks them. It's a principle, actually. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It's like how God created relationships, is that when you make a promise to someone, they start to form an expectation. And then when it gets broken, it hurts. And that's why it hurts if you break a promise. You try to just blow it, I got busy, I got other stuff to do, but it still nags at you. And the only way you ever get free of that is the other principle, is to go to someone and say, hey, I'm sorry. I promised I would do that, and I didn't do it. And if you're angry or mad at me, that's like totally normal. Because it is an expectation, you get your hopes up, and I broke my promise, and it hurts. And promises. Now, God makes promises all through the Bible, all the stories, all the way through. And here's why it's important, because sometimes, my emotions go all over the place. My circumstances go all over the place. I wanted to show you. The one's going to come up here. It's not in your notes, but let me read something to you. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. That's a promise. So if I get divorced, drastic thing happens, I lose my job and get fired. My kids blow up in my face. I can't pay my bills. I become very, very successful and everybody thinks I'm all that. But the promise is that there isn't anything that can separate me from God's love. Now, here's the truth, though. All the time we go through this, we feel like, I don't feel like God loves me today. So that's when you have to be able to lean back on a promise. There's all kinds of them in the Bible. And then the third thing is Proverbs. These are these little sayings. And Proverbs are like these little sayings that kind of speak to something specifically, but they're pointing to a bigger truth. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. And it's personal now. Remember, like, it's practical wisdom, but personal God. So we're going to bring them both together. So let's look at it today, kind of an introduction. Number one, Proverbs are designed to make us think. So when you read through this, you get your out here and you're going to read through this hopefully every day. It takes about 5 minutes is all to read one of these, make us think. So here's the thing. Let me read this to you. Like a golden ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head. That's a proverb in the Bible. What it's saying is that just because something looks good doesn't mean it is good. So like when I was a kid, I played junior golf. And in this area that I was in, it was super, super competitive, and there's lots of kids that played golf in the summertime, and I played junior golf in this area. And so here was the thing, though, is like my family didn't have a ton of money, so I had these ratty clubs that didn't match, and I'm trying to compete with all these kids. And a lot of them had money, and they had like these great sets of golf clubs, and it was frustrating for me because there was some of these kids that I couldn't beat. So I told my grandpa one day, I said, hey, how am I supposed to beat these kids, man? Ratty set of clubs don't even match, and they all got really super nice clubs. And now in that day, and still today, everybody believes that this guy named Jack Nicklaus was the greatest golfer of all time. So here's my grandpa said, these ratty clubs, grandpa, if I had good clubs, I could beat those guys, but who could beat anybody with these clubs? My grandpa said, okay. How do you think Jack Nicklaus would do if he had your clubs? Do you think he could beat those kids?
No.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. And here was the crazy thing. It was like he gave me his own little proverb. He said, it's not the clubs, it's the person holding the clubs. And so this is what this is pointing at. It's saying just because something seems good and you need it, just because a shiny new car, I want it, don't forget the shiny new payment that comes with it. How many times have you been to the movies before? And you go through the previews, and you know, preview. I gotta see that thing, man. And so you're just like, this is rocks, you know. So then you go to the movie, and about halfway through, you think, did they just take all the good parts and put it in the previews? Because like, this is a terrible movie. Because not everything that looks good is good. Not everything that seems beautiful or at face value. Not every person that looks great, not every circumstance that seems so good. That's all the Proverbs is trying to say. With a personal God that's with us to say, I know what this looks like, God, and I want it, but should I? That's what it's saying. Let me give you another one. This is a good example. Make you think. It's not in your thing, but it's going to be come up on the screen. A bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Leave that up there, because I just think about this now. So like a bowl of vegetables, ugh. And steak. Now, when I first read that, I was like, well, hold up now. I got some questions I want to ask. How long is dinner with the steak? It's like, if this is like a 10-minute dinner, like I could probably woof down that steak, and like even though I hate them, I'd probably like be okay with it. Like, have you ever had that before? You're like, well, wait a second. You know, it's like, here's what it's trying to get us to see. It's trying to get us to see this. It's like getting us thinking about hate. So this last week, I'm going to kind of put myself out there a little bit. There's this guy that, you know, so here's the process in my life. Like, first he just sort of irritates me. And then he's starting to annoy me. And then I start to figure out, you know what? I don't even like this guy. It's like, even if he wasn't annoying or irritating, I just don't like him. And then, you know, like 4 or 5 days ago, it was last week, I'm like going somewhere and I'm thinking about this guy, how annoying, you know, and everything. So you guys probably just, I'm glad I'm not like that guy, you know, and everything. And right in the middle of it, this is what God said to me. Sure as can be. Remember, personal God. Said to me right in the middle, he said, you're starting to hate him. And I was like, whoa, that's a strong word. So I called up this buddy of mine I've known since I first started walking with Jesus, older than me. And I call him every once in a while when I get into a tussle to pray for me. So I called him up. I called him and said, hey, man, I got this guy. And he's super, super annoying. But like yesterday, God told me I'm starting to hate him. And there was like quiet, like a pregnant pause on the other end of the phone, you know. And I said, so would you pray for me? Because like I need some help because I'm starting to hate him. And the first thing he says is, are you praying for him? And I was like, am I praying for him? No, I'm not praying for him. I'm praying for me. And I called you to pray for me. What are you talking about? Am I praying for him? He said, I'll tell you what. Pray for him every single day for a month. And I guarantee you, you won't hate him anymore. And I'm like, and you know, I've been doing it, and it's working. You don't want to hate anybody, do you? I know I don't. Oh, it feels good for like 3 or 4 seconds. It's like a chocolate-covered piece of broccoli. That's what hate is. It's like great for like 3 seconds, then you're just like, ugh. They make us think. Proverbs make us think. And they make us dialogue with God and get us somewhere better. Okay? So as you read through your bookmark, it's going to make you think a little bit. Number two, write in your notes. Proverbs caution us about either or thinking. So this is interesting because in our world, we like to break everything down to yes or no, you know, right or left, black or white. We want everything to fit in these nice categories. It's either or. So here's what I mean by that. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for instance, that you had a relative that came to you and he said, hey, I'm really excited to tell you something. This is what I do with my kids the other day. It was awesome. I set all my 4 or 5 kids down. We're in Utah, 13, 14 kids. I set them all down in the living room. You know, I got, and they're all sitting down there. And I got mom and I brought mom and like I set them down. And I said to all the kids, now listen, you either love your mother more or me. You have to choose, either her or me. And you're listening to me. He goes, this is the greatest thing ever. You ought to try it. You're like, are you a crackpot? You don't do that to your kids. It's not either or when it comes to parents. And guess what? A lot of life is not either or. But I want to make it that way because it's easier for me. It's just faster. Compartmentalize it, put a label on it, and move on. And so here's look at this little scripture here I have here. It's a great example of it. So here's what it says. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. Okay. Be sure to answer the foolish argument of fools. What? Or they will become wise in their own estimation. Like, what is it? Like, is it like don't answer them or do answer them? And sometimes in life, it's both. And you need something personal from God to tell you what situation. So here's what it looks like in real life. Somebody's like being super, super stupid. One of your relatives, one of your friends, or, you know, they're like being dumb. They're making really, really bad decisions. And you're with them. And the more they're talking, you feel yourself getting more and more angry and more and more angry. You're like trying to think of what to say to them. And you just know at that point that if you engage them, if you say anything to them, like if you, like even if you start to get into the conversation, you can feel yourself getting more escalated. You're like, you know what? I need to step out of this because I'm about to say something stupid. And sometimes that happens. So sometimes we're like, you know what? I'm not grounded enough. I'm not in a place to have this conversation. Even though I can see what they're doing is completely foolish, I'm not the person to talk to them. Sometimes. And then other times someone's doing something and you're grounded. And you care about them and you love them and you're off of your high horse. You're just like, you know what? I know I can have this talk with them. And I don't want them to go away thinking what they're going to do is the right thing to do without me saying anything. So sometimes that's the way to do it. Now, as you read through the Proverbs, one of the ways it's going to challenge you in your life and you get into situations like, well, like, which way do I go? And you're trying to figure out, and that's when you pause and you say, which way do I go, God? Practical wisdom, I get that, but personal God. Sometimes I play red light, green light with God. I'm like, red light, green light. What do you want me to do? I'm not smart enough to apply this proverb right now. And since it's from you and it's in your book, tell me what to do. See, that's the difference between Proverbs and a fortune cookie. Fortune cookies are great. I don't like them. I like chocolate chip. But, I mean, they're okay. I mean, you can read them and go, oh, look, here's something to do. But that's all you get. I'm talking about a personal God that will interact with you with the proverb. Red light, green light, God. Number three, write in your notes. Proverbs require us to use good judgment. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. That's awesome. So just imagine, you know, some guy's got a thorn bush. He's tearing up his own hand. And he's whacking and hurting everybody around him. That's what people do that don't have good judgment with proverbs or wisdom or life. They say, well, when I was a kid, you know, well, here comes the thorn bush. Good judgment is tied to a personal God. Like, how am I supposed to do it? Now, here's the problem. In our society today, there's this, like, hyperphobia of being judgmental, almost to the point that we're willing to not use good judgment. So I'll set up a scenario for you, and I'm saying ahead of time, this is make-believe and exaggeration, but hopefully it'll make the point. So you've got a 14-year-old daughter, and she comes and announces, guess what? I have a new boyfriend. You're going to love him. He's so cute. He's 19. And he invited me to go camping this weekend. Is it okay if I go camping with him this weekend? Come on, Mom, you're going to love him. Dad, you're going to love him. You know, he likes the Broncos just like you. And you're like, are you on crack? It's like, what? What? You know, that's when you say to your wife, well, how did you raise her? It's like, no, you don't get to, you, like, first of all, let's back it up. You don't have a 19-year-old boyfriend. You think you do, but you do not. And no, you're not going camping. Oh, and here it comes. How can you say that? You don't even know him. You're being so judgmental. Who are you to judge? It's not your place to judge. And you know, if I'm in that storm, I'm like, yes, it is. It totally is my place to judge. Because I'm using good judgment because yours is so poor. Amen. Yeah, I'm using good judgment. Being judgmental and using good judgment is entirely different. Here's what the Urban Dictionary says about being judgmental. Let me read it to you. Urban Dictionary. Judgmental. People who live their lives as if everyone should think and act the way they do. Judgmental people think on a very shallow level and tend to be unaccepting of people who come from different backgrounds or lifestyles. Judgmental people also almost never seek to understand others, but instead spend their time, their free time, involved in gossip. We're not talking about that. Of course that's not okay. It's like, we don't want to be that. Our church doesn't want to be that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about using good judgment, which is entirely different than being judgmental. See? Now, the Proverbs, as you read through this, at times it's going to ask you to use good judgment. And in our culture, our society, that's becoming a pressure because it gets blurred into being so judgmental when you use good judgment. So you say to yourself, hey, listen, we're not going to hang out anymore. I'm like, you've been my friend for a long time, but you're always like putting me down. And you're always critical of me. You're always finding fault with me. And I've just been thinking this thing through. And it's just like, we got to take a time out. We're not going to hang out. Who are you to judge me? You're being so judgmental. Okay. But I'm also trying to use good judgment because I'm working on some things in my life. And I take a step back every time I'm with you. So I've got to use good judgment. And is there going to be some pressure there? Are some people going to step in and say that's not okay? Well, sure there is, because that's our society we live in now. It's all blurry. And the way we walk through it is to say, you know, God, a kind, loving, open heart towards others, and someone that knows how to use good judgment. That's practical wisdom, personal God. Okay? Now, last thing. Write in your notes. Very last thing of the day, the bottom line, God wants to help us make wise choices. Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what He wants. And everyone, if you would, circle this. And He will help you go the right way. So I'm not cracking open the fortune cookie. I'm not seeing the fortunes. I'm not looking at my horoscope and then getting done with it and going, okay, now how am I going to do this? And He will help me. That's the difference. That's the whole difference in Proverbs in the Bible, is it comes from God's book and God's with us in it.